Good evening, everybody. Natalie, can you lead us real quick?
Sure. Ready? Begin.
I would like to introduce to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic on which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let the record show that Leo Hordick, Director Leo Hordick, is not here tonight. All the other directors are present. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved. I'll second the motion.
All those in favor of the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Right. The agenda is approved, and we'll go into public comments first. There's a lot of people here for no public comments. Yeah, if you can just come to the mic and state your name so it goes on the recording. Yeah. Yes, please.
Okay, quick for me. I will keep it short.
Hello, my name is Bruce Gesher.
Yes.
Can I give you the last name?
Yes, please.
Look there. You need an address?
That'll come later.
I want to talk a little bit about a situation that's coming up in the community here, and it has to do with your grant program that Al is working on. And have you folks thought about, if you don't get all of the money that you think you're going to get, have you narrowed it down to, say, one project that would be your priority project? That's the first question.
Okay.
Okay. And then the second question has to do with the definition. What is it when you say that you have existing funding mechanisms to maintain these programs? What does that mean? I read that in the notes, and I was talking about once you build these monuments where you go, there has to be some kind of a maintenance program that you need it on a yearly basis to maintain that. And in the minutes, it just says we'll use the existing funding mechanism. I don't know what that word means. It's very general minutes.
Okay.
Okay, and then I think the last one is that we. I read a bunch of that program itself, and it said that everything that's going to be utilized as far as the monies are going to be considered outlay monies. They're not going to be anything that you can use for maintenance. So, how do you folks plan on doing that on any of your programs? Could be one of the three proposals that Al has. Those are my questions.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Yeah, come on up to the mic and state your personal last name for the record.
Hello, my name is Rob.
You have to speak right into the mic.
Hello, my name is Rob.
There you go.
Rob Eric. And I also have something to say about the community plan. My focus is a safe place for children and adults to enjoy bicycling. Bicycling is experiencing a renaissance that's numerous mountain resorts, recommending a share that carry bikes up mountains. Hopefully an awesome tide will follow too, but this bike park that we potentially can get, where kids can learn to ride bikes safely and not around vehicles, would be a crucial resource, especially for your friends. Maintenance is absolutely a concern. This is going to be dirt, so it shouldn't be too much of a problem as far as like grass and other things that take water and other resources. Another big positive for bike specific parts would be a sense of community that creates. Just like state and ball participants, the bike community would now have a gathering place, and in doing that, we can take care of the facility into our own hands. One of these examples that I actually have here is Bill Street Bike Park in Tahoe, and have maintenance Mondays scheduled every week. Furthermore, if there is a BMX track there, where we can hold small events, like small, low-rate races, just a great money for maintenance facility. Or facility maintenance, sorry. That's about it. I have more information that I can share with you guys, but just wanted to, I didn't know when I should bring this up or not, so it seems like now's the time, so.
Yeah. That's good. Thank you.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, absolutely. I have one more thing to ask.
Is your name Rob?
Yes.
Okay, hi Rob. Were you the one who created the poll on Facebook?
I was just going to say that. Yeah, we have 105 signatures and over 40 comments on it. So it seems like the community is getting behind this.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand your guys' goal as far as not putting us into financial ruin and stuff like that. So I appreciate that. Also, that it might be something that we can work through and work out as a community to do it responsibly. But mainly just the three resources for our community.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. You can come up. There's one person that you can come up.
Hi, I'm just wondering, my name is Pam Wright, and I am a Redwood resident, and I'm wondering if you're going to allow public comment during item number 16, or is this the time and place to make the comments about that?
Yeah, we will. You can comment now in general on it, and
okay.
But we will discuss it first, and then we'll have comments after.
Okay.
So that maybe information would fill in those questions.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. First of all, I wanted to thank all of you as our elected board members, 50 board members, for your work in serving our park and recreation district. And that's what we're about, is park and recreation. That's why we have a board, and thank you for doing it for us. And it's really good to have local control, and I personally appreciate that. I think it's really important, and I'm glad that we get to make those decisions locally, and you as our representative get to act on our behalf for doing that. So I appreciate you taking it from all sides and having the faith and give extra time to do that. I appreciate that. And I recognize, I attended three of the meetings, I think, that were conducted with Al, and I participated there. I felt it was an open. He answered our questions. He listened to our input. So I attended those, and I think I have a little understanding about what the proposals are. And so I wanted to make my comments about that. And I think in looking at the process, it came to me that we had an opportunity to create now with our local control to do something with a village vision. We are no longer under what the county has envisioned for us. Now we get to have a village vision. And in looking at what we're doing, it seems to me that we fit something because we saw this opportunity to apply for these grants or to get these grants, this money, and we were going to intend to do something with that, but really, we're just getting started with that local control, and I haven't seen that we've identified what the village vision is for this park, this huge park that we all live in. So what is the village vision? And I think the missing piece for me was there's no strategic plan because we're so new, we haven't had a chance to have the public, real public input in developing that village vision of what we want. And then looking at these three proposals that came up, I liked the first proposal. It seemed like a no-brainer, except the Hall of Stewart part. We can do that with some cleanup money. The second part, the part about this community building, it seemed that that's where we were a little bit missing our village vision, our strategic plan part, because we were relying on the old county plan for just, slapping that money on the county plan and fixing up what currently is. And I understand we do want to do the refurb, but we were missing an opportunity because if my experience here in the village is this community really relies on this parcel for almost everything that's done here. And what is so beautiful about Redwood is all the things that are done in this village together as a community. And where are they done? Here. Mm-hmm. That parking lot is used all the time for everything. I'm in six clubs here, and they all rely on using this facility. And we missed the opportunity to really apply the village vision of developing this parcel as ours, as our community park facility. So we're missing the boat, in my view, because we don't have a strategic plan, because we don't have a village vision. We're relying on the county vision, which probably was a little short-sighted because they're taking care of a bigger place. But back to the, so when we get to the second item, the community building refurbishing, okay, that's okay, but I feel a little sad that we missed village vision and the opportunity to use that parcel out there in our parking lot for all the things that we try to do with every event that goes on. You know, is there a stage out there? And I saw the Al reported that we brought this up in a meeting, and the stage was acknowledged, and we could bring in portable stage. I think the village vision would do something else with that. I also think the village vision would include something more about the treasure of this village, and that's the Lightwood Village Trail. How does that tie in with what we're doing? And this would be an opportunity to use some of that money that's available. It's not very much money that probably is going to be available, but certainly in the village vision, I would bet that Lightwood Village Trail plays a much more important part in the development of this big park that we have in. And so, when we come down to that third proposal, using that grant money for the fourth park, again, we pulled out the county's vision, or lack of vision, for what we would use. It's wonderful if we could get that parcel donated. But what can we do? Can we put in the BMX trail? You know, how many people in this village would treasure having something to do with bikes or walking? We live in a park. How much more could we do if we really implemented our village vision and not the county plan for what they do with Lightwood or what they let happen to Lightwood? And that's what was happening. That's what we incorporated, or whatever it is you want to call, that we did as a village. And so I really don't think we were using much of the vision in the creation of that new park that has the potential to help us once we have the money to do it. So those are my reactions to the things that I went to at the meeting. I just want to encourage this organization, our representatives, to be part of, to join, and the board members to be part of something called the National Recreation Park Association. There are associations in California and nationally that provide workshops and training for park boards, for park people all over. And there's the opportunity for workshops and for networking. So, other than that, the last question is, what is the dollar that this is going to cost us for the maintenance? You should be able to answer that question in dollars as my representative. And you should be able to answer in dollars where you're going to get it for you to pay on my behalf.
As a 30-year NRPA person, National Parks and Recreation Association person, there were 5 meetings that Al was kind enough to host, courtesy of the PSD. And if the people didn't come out at that point in time to give us the village vision, and we're actually a town, not a village, I don't think you're going to get any more than that. So we need to go on what we had for input, and I think Al has done a very good job of that. But some of your comments were good, some were not in my mind. When you apply for a grant, you don't know what you're going to get until you apply for it. You could get zero, you could get $200. We have to be patient. Now, if you know me, I am a dog lover. I am over the limit. I just got a new 13-year-old adoptee on Saturday. But even though I believe that socialization is an important factor in a dog's development, I'm requesting that the TSD not approve the current grant number one suggested area for a dog park, okay, until a dog park could be developed correctly. As I said, I worked for Parks and Rec for 30 years. I retired from them. I spoke to a former co-worker today. He's been there 23 years, and he maintains dog parks in Clark County, Nevada. And some of his comments today, which I hope the board would take into consideration, because the area that Al mentioned the other day is like 50 feet by maybe 300 or 400 feet. Parva lasts for 2 weeks in a given area. Dog life spreads through the soil, which would have to be removed every time a dog life is found. The urine smells in the parks department are one of the biggest complaints that people who go to dog parks report. Few people ever pick up dog poop. The spread of foxtails, or in southern Nevada, is called khakis right now, and it's come from like New Mexico, and it's moving over. Once you get that in your facility, you have to just take up all the dirt and take it out because it's deadly for the animal. Veterinarians actually recommend that you don't take dogs to two places. One is a dog park, the second one is a pet park. Because of all the diseases that, you know, some people say, oh, my dog's not going to catch this or that, but they do, and they spread it. Our area in Redwood is 99% residential, I would think, because there's just a small handful of condominiums and apartments. Most of us, I don't know anybody, but we have backyards. We can socialize our dogs in the backyard, maybe have play dates and such. A proper dog park needs to consist of at least two areas. One for big dogs, and this is for safety. One is for large dogs, and one is for small dogs. You do not generally have all those dogs intermingling in a successful way. There is a safety factor there. And there's a lot of maintenance that goes around with dog parks. So until we get, perhaps, project number three, which is the unnamed area down on Wright Road with the unnamed facilities in it and amenities, until we can get two dog parks at least half to three-quarter of an acre each with 6 foot tall fences, please do not build a dog park yet.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Lauren Cohen. I'm a resident here in Redwood. I've been here about 6 days. I know there's been some problems with the buses coming to the venture.
You got to speak right into that mic.
Right into the mic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll start singing. So I'm Lauren Cohen. I've been living here for a while, and I noticed there's a little bit of difficulty between the buses and parking, and they don't realize it's attended schedule. So I took a picture of it the first month I was here. Second month I did it again, it didn't get through. All I'd like to ask is, just hoping that you're not going to park easy, is can I have one of your agendas, and I'll take you over personally to the busroom so they know when you guys are going to have events here and where they have to pick up people at the market or at the post office. Would that be okay? And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comments? All right. Okay, agency reports. Did I have...
Hi, good evening. Carl Hickey, San Diego County Fire. She Anderson had an event today. Crystal couldn't be here. She thought she was going to be. We almost didn't get here because we had a fire feeling today. But better so much as we are busy season is starting to get here. Do not let your guard down because it's that time of year where wildfires are starting. Beginning of this month, we sent out a strike team to Northern California on wildfire. And a week later, we sent out another strike team to Central Sierra Nevada. And both strike teams contained personnel from Wrightwood. Both fired pretty aggressively, but we caught it fairly quickly. Wet winter helped us because not all the fuels had cured, which is a good thing. But now that we're getting into our second event, we should be very cautious. And just if we're not having the winter event here does not mean that we're not in trouble, because if we have low humidity, the fire will create its own wind. So just kind of be aware of that. Again, like I said, winter's coming, so there's going to be a lot of fireplace stuff. Haven't had any calls yet, but it's coming. Try to make sure that your fireplace is clean. A lot of house fires are started from dirty fireplaces, and when in doubt, ask a professional. And I'm not a professional when it comes to cleaning
and your dishes.
Any questions for Senator O'Connor? Speak for you.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Sergeant Robert Picari with the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department, and I'm assigned to the team of the station. I do not have an HD report this month. We had a technical difficulty called a retirement. The person who generates the DSD report is unfamiliar with that, and because your meeting is on the 1st, and they generate the report, she will not be able to do it. So I will make the HD reports for the month of September, next month when we come back in October.
Okay.
But I do know that your arrests were up slightly here in Redwood. We did have a habitual problem over on Virginia Street with somebody, and we responded there numerous times, and he was jailed numerous times. So there will be a slight increase in what your normal arrests were, just because of dealing with a particular person.
So what do you mean he went to jail numerous times?
More than
I mean, during the month, you mean, or?
During the week.
I mean,
pension
relief.
So, is this person on parole, or?
I don't know. But anything that's a misdemeanor in California, you're going to get booked, and you're going to be out in 6 days' hours. But for the community, have you noticed? Up here in Brightwood, it gets colder than it does down in Keelan, but it's already dipped down into the 30s. So just as a friendly reminder from the Sheriff's Department, from me to you, to remind your people that the car thieves are out driving around looking for those of you who like to warm your cars up in the morning. I do this reminder every single year. I've already started to see an increase in stolen vehicles because people want to warm their car up so it's nice and warm when they get in, when they have a cup of coffee, and the car thieves are out driving around, scoping out what cars are going to come back, because if you'll do it on Tuesday, you will do it on Wednesday, and then they come over and they pick up people's cars with the keys and they don't come away. And here in the last week and a half, there's been an increase in stolen vehicles, so remind your neighbors, keep track of your cars, don't leave them running and warming up in the morning, because the car keys are out looking for your cars.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Question? Yeah. There was a SS auto on Ash and Shirley J. up there in Redwood. Okay. Was that a car being warmed up while they were getting their coffee?
You didn't know anything about it?
I don't know anything about that. It was reported in the sheriff's office that the car was stolen.
Yeah, I see that. The stolen vehicle reports when they come across my desk. I don't look at all the particulars, but the stat for stolen vehicles has increased just here in the last week.
In Redwood?
No, just in the community.
I believe that.
Yeah,
in talking to our staff, they are telling me that they're seeing an increase in drug activity in our parking lot out here, plus in the bathrooms, and they were wondering if there's any way that we can get some type of patrol that comes by the area or whatever, because I guess it's pretty bad.
Already working on it.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Better catch and release, though.
Probably. Do the best you can.
Enforce a lot of
it,
right?
But we did have
what's your policy with shot fire? Did you start firearms from a different zone?
Well, we'll respond to a call to service. The call to service is made, and our policy, we don't have a policy on shots fired on particular zones, but as in any other case with a shot fired call, first you need to be able to identify that there were shots fired. You need to be able to have somebody that can tell us if you think your person shot, and then an arrest can be made. But it's not as simple as...
Does that generate some kind of probable cause, though? I mean, if a neighbor says, hey, you know, this guy's firing his gun off in the hillside at midnight, doesn't that give you probable cause to go in and check it out? Then you go in the guy's house and say, I want to, you know, where's his gun? What's going on?
No.
No. So what would probable cause be? You have to see it yourself.
If you saw Michael West shooting, and I can say that's West, that's in his backyard, and I can see him, and we can establish if you can see that, then maybe we can... You're going to need a search warrant to get in that house. You're going to need a consent or a search warrant to get in the house.
What if it's a felon in that house?
Just because you've been convicted of a felony doesn't...
Well, I mean, let's say that. Well, isn't that more cons, though? I mean, if it's, let's say the person's out on probation. That's in this house. Does that give you cause to be able to go in there and look for a gun?
There may be. Yeah, it depends on whether you would have search warrants or not.
Yeah.
If you don't...
Oh, you mean the specifics of his probation, so we'll have that on there.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
How do you that?
About
children involved, and people are coming shooting off the road. Well, you know, how does a residential owner handle that, and then the authority show up 3 weeks later, between that today, along with you, and know what it is about it?
Well, it starts with a call for service that night.
That was done. And it was on social media for about, I don't know, 40 years. And
okay, don't believe everything you read on social media. But if you respond to a call for service, first you're going to have to be able to identify where a crime has been committed. Because you hear shots, and whether you can see muzzle flashes, I mean, yes, some people have revolvers and the fire first casing to be with the gun, go with the gun. Some of them are ejected out on the ground. Are there any bullet strikes that we can identify? Are there fire first casings on the ground? And if that's somebody's window, that might establish more probable cause. There's a lot of steps to being able to identify somebody before you can actually make an arrest. Not as simple as somebody, your next door neighbor, saw you out in your backyard, and they thought you were shooting, and they said, well, I thought you were shooting. Yeah, I mean, I heard the bang, and you're the one who's standing outside of your backyard, you're barbecuing. And do you go to jail for that? Because they heard them. Got to find some more stuff to go along with it.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. We do have a new member from our station. It is Lieutenant Jeremy Martinez. He came up from narcotics from San Bernardino. When Lieutenant Newton retired back in June, he took his position. He wanted to come up and introduce himself. Okay, turn it over to Lieutenant Martinez.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Everybody hear me? I'm Jeremy Martinez. Robert just said I'm the new Lieutenant of the station. Todd Newton retired July 5th. So Todd is thoroughly enjoying his retirement, and I said, you know, but he did 29 years with us, so he's well earned it. But I kind of make my way around the last couple months I've been here, so I'm going to introduce myself to the Sheriff's Department 20 years, except for a few years in gangs and narcotics. I worked my entire career there, so I worked in Pickerville, Peoria, Apple Valley, and South Victor Valley. So I'm clearly the area of relevant, and so we're getting to know everybody, to meet everybody, and see how best we can help.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. You have a comment about the agency report, or? I'm sorry. Is it in regards to the agency report? Yeah, come on up to the mic.
Good evening. My name is Jonathan Mosley. I've been a member of this community since 1977. I moved away in 2003 after I retired and returned in 2013. During that time, there was a couple of things that occurred that really struck me as really adding to the community. That was the Wrightwood Trail, number one, and number two was our Veterans Memorial Park. When I left, that piece of ground in the center of this community was nothing but two undeveloped, trashy blocks. And since then, the committee, Wrightwood Veterans Memorial Committee, came in with the assistance of the county, developed our memorial park. And what I would like to know now is, what I've noticed about that park is the erosion control. And I'd like to know how the board is going to address that. There are times when that becomes a real liability. Right now, it looks like a creek running down through there, a dry creek, so it is. But it's running down through there, and it's just a big rut. So I would like the board to address that. There's a number of issues that are involved, including just paving it over or putting bricks over it or whatever we need to do to control that erosion all the way down to the restrooms down below. Right now, it's just washed away. Every time it rains, rain comes down through there, washes it all away. We can correct that, and it may take some doing to do it, but we can do it. And I would like the board to address that. That's a beautiful park. I mean, everybody comes into this community ends up in the center of it. And in the center of that community, this community, is that park. And it can be a very beautiful place. And I don't know, with very little effort, I think we could address that and look at those issues. The Veterans Memorial Committee is willing to work with the board in developing a plan. Like I said, whether it's grass or artificial grass or paved over with bricks, that would probably be the best thing. And looking, we could even sell bricks to those who want to honor their loved ones or those who have passed or those who have been committed to service in the military, and that would help. The Boy Scouts want to get involved in fundraising and helping with that. And like I said, I'd like the board to look at that. Maybe we can work together and develop a real plan for this community. And that goes to what this lady has just said. This is a part of that community plan. Spike trails, that's all good. There's a lot of things that would be good. Dog park, maybe, maybe not. Because the best park is in the center of this community. And we need to do something about it. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's look at the consent calendar, the board meeting minutes. Anybody look at the minutes?
Yeah,
they look okay. All right, can I have a motion to accept the consent calendar? To approve the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of the consent calendar, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, consent calendar is approved. Item 7, General Manager's Report.
We had a busy mess. We had some problems with the bathroom locks being vandalized this month, and we had several calls to a locksmith, so I'm hoping that adding security standards will reduce the issues that we also put in the programmable locks. They were fully installed as of Saturday, and they were working.
Were those the ones that were vandalized, or was it?
No, oh, the old locks were.
The old locks were.
So,
okay.
The new locks were just installed.
Okay.
Fully installed as of Saturday, and they're working fine so far. So far, so good. So far, so good.
Okay. All right.
Scheduled to have a LASCO meeting on October 16th for our service review, so I'll include those results in the next report.
Yeah, do you want to explain what the service review is?
Well, I would, but I'm not totally sure. All together, but it's basically how they're going to look at the financials,
right,
and how we're being run and make sure that we're doing everything on the up and up and that we're
right,
actually going to.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's about right.
We're having a little, we had a little issue with our first panel with HD. It should be resolved as of tomorrow.
What was the issue?
We had some issues with getting some reports from Cecilia.
Okay.
And they didn't get all the reports that they needed, so we had to do some hand checks for payroll this time around.
Is that fixed though? Is that
they did not get the reports that they needed, so they had to actually go through the numbers without doing a cross check that they wanted.
Okay.
So
are they going to go back and make sure that cross check is correct?
I am going to contact Cecilia tomorrow because she's not in the office on Tuesday and Thursday to make sure that
okay.
the reports that they needed so they can do the cross check.
Okay.
But we did actually get the payroll check. Done by hand.
And then I want to make sure that we want to make sure that it's going to be smooth on the next time.
Yes.
Okay.
And as a way of saying they're sorry for not getting everything that they needed because they waited until kind of the last minute, they're going to actually comp us at least one, maybe two payroll runs. So.
Okay.
We're ready to use our credit debit card reader. We haven't had anybody come in and ask us to yet, but we're all set up and ready to go.
Okay.
QuickBooks has been loaded on the laptop, but we just need to network it to the other computer.
Now you told me the computer in there just before the meeting had died or something, right?
Yeah, we shut it down because there's an electrician here, and we wanted to shut the electricity off. We shut the computer down. We're not able to get it to boot back up yet.
Okay.
So we're having some issues with that one.
Okay.
Let's see. We received the recording of last week's meeting from John Aziz, and he also informed us that was going to be the last recording that he did for us. So we wanted to make sure that we thanked him for his time and effort in doing that because it takes a lot of time.
Yes, thank you, John, for doing it for all this time.
Thank you. Here?
Yes.
We received a donation of umpire gear from Strepsituba, and it's a full set of gear, including ball bags, chest protectors, and leg protectors. And the plan is to use that for fall ball and possibly little league. That's going to be a really big help. We also received notice that the Grand Pines Cabin has applied for a liquor license to sell beer, wine, and distilled spirits. And the reason we received notice is it's going to be near the Children's Park. I personally don't, but because we received a notice, I felt inclined to include it in my manager's report, so there we go. Also, the senior advisory group that applied for the variance last meeting on the building that we agreed to fund submitted their rental as the Lions Club and the insurance as the Lions Club. And I talked to Mr. Kennedy, and he suggested that I include that in my manager's report just in case the board had an issue with them submitting it as the Lions Club instead of the senior advisory group.
Yeah, okay.
So we also just installed a motion detector light outside the kitchen to help with a little, maybe some of the vandalism that we've been having.
Good idea.
So that happened just today.
Okay.
So
how much cost was there on that, or how'd that work?
The cost on that was just $250.
Yeah. Okay.
So we already have a light out there that actually has the switch turned off and on, so it's actually located outside.
Oh, okay.
So it's been turned on and off occasionally from the outside in the last month and a half, so we decided to put the detector light out there.
That's good. Okay.
So that's it for September.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions from the board? Oh, okay. All right, item 8, August, September 2019 financials. Thank you.
Any questions, Seth? Why be around the bush? Well,
for that month.
Just get all the taxes, you know, for about, well, from November to February. Well, that's when all the
taxes are due December. You don't get them usually until what, around January?
Yeah.
So
start coming in late.
Pretty soon we'll show $200,000 or $300,000 in the bank versus what we have. Will be a positive from the start of the year. Right, yeah, 3,000. Monthly hours, yours are at 83. That does not include your vacation, though, does it? And this shows for September that we made $3,000.
Yes.
Approximately. And we have $188,000 in the bank as of?
As of September 30th.
September 30th. Okay. With a few pretty good skate parties. Park 27,000 is in April, and that's our last, I believe.
Yeah, should be the final payment.
EDMP is a combination of 2018, 2019, and we owe them the $14,970. Will we pay that in bulk, in whole, or?
We will, as soon as the question in regards to that I have in regards to the employee
salary. All right, no more questions? All right.
Why was Golden State Water check number 1522 at 4,065 for the community building and museum? Is that normal or does that seem to be that high?
Yeah, that can't be right. That really.
There's a check number
465. Yeah, I'm just looking at it. I guess okay. All right, next, Park and Recreation Event Coordinator, Veronica.
So softball is going for season week 5. Everything seems to be going well there. We still have the 12 teams. Going down, the home run derby was scheduled for this Saturday. It looks like Saturday probably wasn't a good day to schedule it. We haven't had a lot of people sign up, so I haven't purchased anything for the event, so I was going to cancel the event. Since it doesn't seem to be a whole lot of interest. I'd have to see the bus information and he is going to actually tell me that I can use it for some other activities. The Jazz Dance Club that we filed, only a few people showed up, so it doesn't seem like that's a huge hit either. We have enough to cover the cost of the booking for the 2 hours.
Okay.
I put out a viewer on Facebook for Cornhole League after some people asked me about it, and it seems like there was interest in it. I finally came up with a breakdown here for registration costs. Would be $50 for teams. Teams consist of 2 to 5 people. Mainly for the 2 people, they just because it's a league, they recommend up to 5. Location would either be here in the community center or at the school. The problem with the school is that if somebody wants to have something in their house, they can't. And that was a concern. And then there's not really a referee cost, essentially, at this point. It's more whoever's putting it on, usually I'm at the event, they handle any discrepancies at the house, but typically all the leagues that I talk to, the different tournament people that I talk to, the teams kind of result in themselves in your basic consent the moderator. The board, we essentially only buy 2 sets of boards and borrow more from one of my friends if I needed them. But the cost for 2 sets of boards is at most $200 total. And then if I were to get 8 teams to register, I've had more teams tell me that they would register, but I think it all depends on when we were able to do it. It would be about $100. The prizes for cornhole is typically expected to be a cash prize. And so I kind of came up with an idea of 25% of the proceeds or $100, whichever is less, so that we didn't go over the amount that we could afford to pay out. And I was looking at a 6 to 7 week league with Cheryl being the 6th week with Cheryl being the 7th week, continuing to help if we didn't have the time allotted to push all of the obviously, if you guys are okay with this, I will put out registration for it and try to get maybe a league started on weekend in early November. And I won't purchase anything for the
actual stuff.
Is the cornhole the thing with beanbag?
Do we have the final cost on that?
Right, even. Right. The power release, we got the 18s and we got the $400 for them. We made the board, would be a startup cost that we would have for a while. Would be $300 if we had a $100 payout. It would be $100 if we get any.
Thank you.
If you guys are okay with that, I can try this out. Feel like if November is a good start date, or if I should wait until after the holidays.
I'm okay with you starting it. I mean, as long as you've polled people and seen that there are people that want to do it, it's worth a shot. Just like you tried with the, you know, the jazz thing, or thing, not very many people showed up. It's worth trying.
And I think so, we'll get started. And then the double grinder, definitely on that one, working on trying to figure out permits and stuff like that for backroads and dishes. I would love to aim for that, to have more information, obviously, but aiming for early summer next year, for if we were able to pull up the US in the forest and state park event. Tammy is going to be bringing it up as well. She wants a lot of dedication to the state park. So she's been talking to pharmacy, and her pharmacy request of state park event was worth better for them to help us if it happened in spring. So we're going to help.
Okay.
And we're being pharmacy and she needs.
Okay. Thanks, Monica. All right, item 10, skate park dedication, discussion of possible action. Don't know what we're doing here.
Okay. I've been approached about the possibility of dedicating the skate park to a local employee that was both raised and lost his life in Redwood. Dylan Adams passed away in March of 2017 while driving home one night on Highway 2. Dylan was an avid skater and one of the first kids to skate this park. His brother and sister still use the park almost every day. It was made apparent that kids want to keep Dylan's memory alive when they spray paint his name across one of the ramps. Dylan has touched so many lives in Redwood, and even in his passing by being an ode for the donor. I checked into the cost of a memorial, and depending on the size of the tie, it could run anywhere from $700 to $1,000.
I want to ask Mark, speaking to what Monica just announced about the skate park event, would the idea with working with pharmacy for the skate park event be to help raise money for a memorial plaque for Dylan?
Well, actually, we're working on that again.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're hoping to see if we can make the donation big and we go from there. It's kind of what we're working on. And we were hoping to do maybe the dedication in the spring in conjunction with Monica's event.
I really like the idea and I would support that, and I would personally make a donation to that memorial fund. I think that we have several parks here that are dedicated to people, including the veterans, and there's dedications at the Hall of Stewart Park to, I'm not sure if it was teachers, but I think there's several dedications around town, and I think it would be a nice thing to dedicate that skate park.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For sure. What do you think?
I'm wondering if any, have there been any attempts at fundraising for this? I don't know about this. I don't know Dylan. I haven't heard anything about him until now. But have there been any efforts within the community to fundraise for this and get the community involved in it? Aside from just the board sponsoring it, the community actually having buy into it, aside from the kids spraying the name on there.
Not yet. I mean, this is the first step in deciding whether or not the board would, number one, allow a dedication and a memorial plaque.
I'd like to see what the community makes of it. I don't have a strong objection to it, but I'd like to see what the community, how the community feels about it. We put out in dealers through social media and the channels that we need to get new feedback from the community, or?
How would you do that? I mean, would you put some kind of voting thing on the website, or what? I mean, what would
I'm
you
not do? Sure, because I don't know the family, and so I don't know where they've been involved and how they interacted with the community to know who would. I just don't know anything about this is my first introduction to this topic with the packet for this meeting.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see, we're here to represent the community of Richmond, so I'd like to see a community response to it.
Okay.
It's hard to imagine that they would object, but
I've already got a ton of people who are full support.
Okay.
And would make donations.
Okay.
Like Roy said, we're just trying to see how the board would feel about even just the dedication.
So is the $700 to $1,000 the full cost of that, or is that like
the cost of the plaque.
So,
is it the cost of mounting the plaque?
If other people donated, what would they be donating to?
Well, as I said, the plaque would be mounted on the gate that they're fencing.
Oh,
So, if we were to donate the $700 to $1,000 to the plaque and community donations came in, what would those community donations go for?
I just think you don't even have to donate the whole $700. You could donate a portion of it while they fundraise the rest.
This is on me for just.
Right, yeah.
So, while they
fundraise the rest, is there another organization linked with this, or is this who is this the day?
No, but. It's my son's best friend.
They
are forever. The cross on the highway,
yeah,
as you come in, yeah, it's Dylan Adams.
Oh, okay.
That's where he is a tree and all that.
Okay.
But anyway, I go to skate parks. 90% of kids over there know Dylan or knew of him.
Okay.
His sister literally just walked past her wallet there and someone happened to turn it in here. It was kind of ironic. His little brother still stays there. They're in the school. The mother, giving up for
him. So just to perhaps reiterate or just not clarify, if this plaque is funded, then the idea is that at a spring event, the pharmacy, at the skate park, all of the kids that
really know him and such would be there able to participate.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I've spoken to the pharmacy. They're kind of threatening a little bit because the boys are here. They came in a lot. And they're all, you know, whatever we can't raise, they're going to be, you know, on the flag. We're just trying to get just the ball rolling.
Sure.
Some of you have two questions here. One is they're accepted because going on part summer. The other side is whether or not they're going to donate to it. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, my first question is, you guys want to go ahead?
Oh, thanks.
I have no objection to, having them dedicated to this young man. Okay, that's the first question from you. As far as donating the money, I'd rather see them try to raise it in front of them. The kids, when the pharmacy can get in, I think that makes it a little bit more personal for them. But the idea of having that name for him, I have no problem with.
That's what I think. I think if they raise the money, then it shows that that they are passionate about it, right? So I'd like to see that first. Okay. All right. Okay. So, well, I don't think there's any if there's any action. What I'd like to see is that they raise the money and come to the meeting and say, hey, we raised the money for this dedication, and then we can decide then. It would be on a future agenda.
Okay. Steve, you look like you have a question there.
No.
Okay.
But
there would be no issue if the board were inclined to go ahead and front the money for the SPAC and then have donations come in, and even with that money, the donations that are received are in excess of the cost of the SPAC.
Yes.
The district can still accept that money and it would go towards your park and rec program.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. I'd rather have the money drive the thing. Okay. No action on that. Item 11, Power Recycle Committee. Do we have a committee for that? I don't think we do.
I think it was Natalie and Michelle, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, we should have a committee, not that we have a committee. I clarified with us before the meeting started.
Okay.
Yes, we're not having a committee.
Okay.
They recommend or say we should, or
yes, Power Recycle recommends that we have a committee that needs to meet bi-monthly to discuss the recycling issues for 6 months. And you tabled that and wanted it on your agenda.
What are the recycling issues?
We
should have, I don't know.
I think
I've worked here for 15 years, I don't have any recycling issues, so I think there's something I'm
not
out of the loop of.
Well, I was at that meeting, and what Cal Recycle wants to do is they want the CSD to educate. They want us to educate everybody on recycling.
They want us to show that we're making a proactive effort towards meeting the recycling.
This is from the state climate change, right?
Okay, so we're going to educate.
Yes.
Just, I want to make sure I'm understanding this correctly. The way that we're going to educate people is getting people to come to meetings.
No, that's just part. They're leaving it up to us, okay? They're saying that we need to promote and advertise and educate recycling. Okay, that this is part of Cal Recycle's effort to just
decrease our landfill.
The
board may recall you adopted a couple of ordinances earlier this year that dealt with mandatory recycling
for the business, and so now
with the pass-through, more or less, of the statutory responsibilities that have been laid down by the state.
Right.
This is an element, a similar element of that, which is kind of outreach to the community regarding your own ordinances. And I think it shows proactive effort by the district to let those ordinances be known.
So what I want, what I'm still not clear on is, are the meetings, is it like an ad hoc committee where the meetings, the point of the meetings is to plan how we're going to educate the community, or are the meetings the forum where we educate the community?
That's a really good question. That was one of the questions I was reading, this was whether or not this would be an ad hoc committee, which of course is not open to the public. It would be two members of the board, and it would have a short lifespan, limited in scope, and then have a specific task that would then terminate upon completion. Or, if it was a standing committee, then it would be agendized in the same way your board meetings are held. You would have a regular meeting schedule of the committee, and then staff would prepare agendas for it. You'd post those around town. You have public participation as part of the process. So I think that those issues, to me, legally, you still need to be ironed out.
I guess for me, I don't really see meetings as the best avenue in this town for disseminating information. So several people here tonight, almost the largest crowd, as large a crowd as we've had is the majority of our meetings. But it's for a specific purpose. I assume most people are here, or many of the people we've heard from tonight are here around draft proposals, et cetera, and we've had some large showings. But in general, all of our varied committees in this town don't pull in 300 people from our community or any real significant population. So it seems to me like if we're trying to disseminate information throughout the community, a committee could plan that, but that's not the forum where we're going to actually disseminate the information. It would be through the newspaper, social media, direct mailing, those kind of things. Or am I going to see here?
No, I agree with you.
This is actually part of a requirement from CalRecycle. Is that what this is, Steve? It's an actual requirement.
I'm not aware of it as a requirement.
Yeah.
I thought this was more of an outreach.
Is this a suggestion? Where is this coming from? I'm just seeing this. Where's
it's on the CalRecycle quarterly report. They suggest that we have a committee that meets at least semi-monthly, or bi-monthly.
For what purpose, though? Is there... That's not in this package, or this,
no.
That actual report?
No, I didn't think
a report
in that.
Because there's a state report. Well, I'm all for supporting recycling, educating our community. I don't think meetings.
Yeah, but
our town are going to do it.
But I agree with you. If it's not effective, then, and it's just a suggestion, then why do it?
Right.
Yeah.
It should be effective.
But is there a more effective approach that we could come up with to meet the requests and needs that they're trying to meet, but through a different avenue that serves our community more efficiently?
We could probably get information from Fred Spears from CRNR on, recycling topics or, the way you should be recycling and send it out as a newsletter and be a lot more effective than having a meeting on a Tuesday night and have a couple people come.
I think that's a great idea. Because what the board has done is utilized your contractual relationship with CRNR.
Right.
The CRNR is part of that, is performing those services. So if Mr. Spears were to come in on a quarterly basis and kind of report to the board on recycling issues, you'd agendize it that way. I think that takes care of it. And then any informational materials that the board feels need to go out to the community, then the board can make that direction. At that time, as part of Mr. Spears' presentation.
That's part of our regular board meeting.
It'd be part of your regular board meeting, maybe on a quarterly basis, have Mr. Spears come in and report as an agendized item. Have him report on the services that he's providing and recycling, the effectiveness of your recycling program, and whether you need to be doing something more to be part of that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I like that idea.
And then if there was some type of program we thought we wanted to embark on in the future, then maybe it would be necessary to have actual meetings on how to create one of the programs ourselves, but
right.
don't have anything. Well, I think there is a lot of room in this community for a little more communication around recycling and trash, and I'm flabbergasted by talking to the guys that actually pick up trash in our community and how many trash cans are lit on fire and how many times those trash trucks have flames in them. So they look in their side and rearview mirrors. I mean, I've seen photos from one of our drivers of the back of his truck is in flames, and they got to stop and they got to go down and they got to see the whole scene. Anyway, it's a mess. And it all comes from our fireplace ashes. And that is a lack of education in our community. So I think there's a lot of places we can educate around CR&R services. And,
Okay. Well, I think we'll need to talk to Brent.
Okay, I'll take care of
that. Okay. All right. And item 12, security cameras. Yes. Possible action.
Okay, I got additional quotes for 120 and 180 day retention. I also spoke to both Sheila Penny Hills and Hellendale on how long they're doing their retention.
Yeah.
Both Sheila Penny Hills and Hellendale aren't holding retention on their security cameras any longer than 30 days.
Yeah, okay.
So basically, it's up to the board on how long we want to hold the retention on the security camera case.
Mm-hmm.
My recommendation would be to go with the Turner security proposal, and I'd go for the 120 or the 180 because they're basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's 4 megapixel versus 5 megapixel significantly different in what the picture looks like?
It's better. I mean, it's you want as much resolution as you can get, but some of that is, it doesn't necessarily translate, you know, it doesn't.
So what are the locations of these cameras? Because there's a choice between 7, 6, and 8 of them, so where are these cameras going to be?
Okay, the one at the front door over here, one at the side on this building over here, one looking at the restroom men's door, one looking at the restroom women's door, that's 4, one looking at the skate park, one looking at the veterans park, and then one looking at the shed over here.
And if we want to add more, is this... this Turner system, is it capable of adding more cameras without having to upgrade the whole thing?
Yes.
Okay. So what's the capacity? How many cameras could you put on this year?
I don't know off the top of my head. I don't remember.
Okay. But you can.
But you can, yes.
It's at 7 right now, and there's some number you can add on to that.
Yeah. What is our reasoning to have one? So you said State Park and Veterans Park, but not Hollister. The rest of that park. What's the reasoning behind, say, Veterans Park as opposed to the kids park?
We haven't. I basically took what Al put in as the beginning of the quote, and we have not had any vandalism at the Hollister Park, and so basically I went with that. Didn't see any concerns security over at the Hollister Park scene, so we haven't had any vandalism in that area, so I let them out. If we feel that there's a need to do a camera over there, we can certainly add it.
Well, the skate park makes sense to me. I guess Veterans Park is kind of like in the middle of town, there's lights, there's a huge spotlight there, and
we were having some vandalism there, that's why we added it.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
And is Turner the company that you did the on-medic locks with, or was that CM installation?
Neither one. The on-medic locks we did through Timberline Locks.
Okay.
Turner is actually the company that does the security locks on our building.
Okay.
Well, is there something that you could download? Stuff before we move this, if we do a 90 or 120 day.
I assume you could take
without being a major expense, you know, but I mean, just something plug in and download what was there? Is that
you could copy clips down. You could copy stuff down, I'm sure.
Okay.
But this is more in that, hey, we didn't, you know, we need to go back and see something 45 days ago. We didn't realize, hey, let's go back and look at that. We didn't realize. That would be the only reason.
This is an annual hub?
Wow.
How often is there?
This is just a one-time cost.
A one-time cost?
Yeah, it's a one-time installation cost.
Okay.
Is there any other maintenance on here? Is it like updates to the system?
No.
Software updates or anything?
I'm sure there could be software updates, but
yeah.
Not in the quote.
Okay.
Another question?
Yes. Yeah.
Turner's 7. No, it's an 8 channel recorder. For Turner? Yes. Yeah, so you can add one more camera.
And
you can go to 12 for all your attack.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, does that seem like enough cameras? You know, if we had a total of 8, does that seem like enough cameras? Because we'd be.
I'd agree with that. Yeah.
I mean, would we go next year and go, gee, we really need 12? Would we do that?
Where I aside from Hollister Park, I'm not sure.
Other than the museum.
We don't really have any cameras, but I know we've had issues with this back storage area before. Do we have any cameras pointed there?
No, currently no.
Because I believe in years past, we've had people eat there, we've had people do all sorts of illegal substances. I mean, you're right.
These are most of my advocacy,
right? Great, okay.
So on the CM installation, how many cameras can that thing support, or do you know, does it have number of channels in there, anything like that, any details like that?
And the channel, how many cameras we could ultimately put in? What about for High Desert? 16. Okay, so say we got Turner put in, and then in a year or two we decided we needed more.
Yeah, you're getting rid of that system, buying another system, or buying another one like it.
Okay.
So, I mean, in my mind, I'd rather go for CM installation or High Desert. Because it has room for growth. And I would, you know, without knowing anything else, more megapixels, it's hard just to go on megapixels, but boy,
The more
resolution you get, just the better it is.
Well, that's kind of the whole point. Are you saying, right? Yeah. I mean, we have to be able to better.
Well, I mean, there's two ways to do it. You can get specialized cameras that are really good, right? Or you can get the cameras close, right? And you always see that on news, you know, when they're trying to catch, the camera's just too far away. You just can't quite see.
But in order to survey an entire area, you kind of got to have it.
Well, that's why you need more cameras. That's why you need more cameras.
Right.
You need more capacity. I use cameras at UIA. I got like 50 of them. They still don't have enough. I just can't ever have.
The UIA property?
Well, I mean, we have stuff all over.
Oh.
All over.
Oh, okay.
Ontario and all over California.
Do we have any estimate on the damage that the vandalism, like on the cops, that the panels and damage has created for us?
No, I don't.
Well, this is the bathroom lot. It was like 355.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It would be I would like to go with this CM installation. I would prefer that. CM installation.
120 or 180?
I think go with the 90.
90?
Yeah.
I will say you see an installation is a right wing home company.
Really?
Yes.
Are there the others?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, the other two have a recorder, which is...
It's a good catch. I didn't know
that. But if it's retaining it for 180 days,
yeah, it has to have it. Has to have a recorder. It has to have a recorder.
I don't know. Here, the monitor, we have, is our monitor able to work with, like, the CM stuff?
He looked at it, so I would believe so. But I can verify it.
Yeah. Because Turner's the only one that comes with a new monitor, right? And we do have a monitor right now that we use. Is that correct?
Yes, we do.
Well, you mean with the existing camera system?
Yes. But if we get a new system,
that thing's pretty horrible. That thing's pretty bad.
Are you asking if the new system's going to plug into our old monitor?
Yeah,
I wouldn't think you'd want that.
But then it would be this cost in addition to the cost of a new monitor.
Right. Does the new monitor not come with chain installation?
He did not specify any monitor. He only wanted it with Turner. Yeah.
Can you stream that and just look at it on your computer? I mean, that's mostly how people do it. That's how I do it.
I was going to say, he showed me off of his phone.
Yeah. So I don't know why you need a monitor, quite frankly. You just look at it on your computer, on your phone. It just streams.
Right.
And we're only accessing it when there's an issue, right? This is not something you're coming in and monitoring every morning.
Hey, you kind of look at it.
I would say...
Can't help but look at it.
I would want to look at it to make sure this bathroom door is
open. But you're going to look at all 7 cameras?
Not always, no. No, and I would mostly look at it to make sure that there were no issues, but I probably wouldn't look at it every night, you know. I would check it occasionally to make sure that it's working, all the cameras are working.
Right.
Got good visibility, but I looked at the day you probably not looking at it very often.
Well, I'm with you on the CM one. I would like to see it with the 16 channels so that we could add to it in the future if we need to.
All right. You guys okay with that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really like talking through them.
Okay, can I have a motion?
Wait, before we do the motion.
Okay.
Is there any feedback from the community?
Okay. All right, can I have a motion to go with the CM installation for the camera system?
Okay. You're talking 90 days?
Yeah, 90.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, the motion carries. Okay, I'd like to take a small break right here. I need a little bit of a break. Okay? Say 10 minutes. 10 minutes, you guys.
Well, we keep on Okay.
Review, discussion, possible action.
Currently, both staff members are at the same rate of pay, and Reverend Franklin has expressed their desire to discuss this with the board.
So when we had our original budget, we had the facilities staff at, I think we started at 12, and the park staff was at 12 also. Then we went to, I don't think we ever raised Michelle during that first year. She was still at 12. And when Danny was hired, because the range was $12 to $15 in our budget. And when Tammy was hired, she was hired in at 15, top of the budget, or the range, salary range. Jonathan, I believe it was Jonathan, was brought in at 13.50, and because that's when we did the budget and did that. But then he got raised to 15. So right now, both staff members are at 15.
Right.
The volume of work is probably the same, different, you know.
It's different kinds of work.
But yeah, I think the facility staff should be have a higher wage range.
I don't.
What I would look like.
Oh, you would. Yeah.
But Leo's not here, so I'm okay on that. So I guess I'm talking to Natalie and Michelle. That's just the way it turns out.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's just something that I thought that was unfair. The fact that we didn't know those raises were done, which that's the general manager's prerogative. We gave him a wage raise, and he chose to do whatever he did on that raise. Which is fine, but I also think the one position is worth more than the other one. And that's why I just wanted the board to discuss it.
I think, you know, wages are going up a little bit in general, right? I mean, it seems to be that the target for almost everything is $15 minimum wage. And, you know, after 20, I don't know what year that is, but it's going to be 15 bucks minimum wage pretty much everywhere. So, I don't know, 15 seems fair to me. I know that it's gone up. I know that that it continues to go up for everything. I know this is happening to me in my company. I mean, it's the wages just keep going up. So, I don't see a moral difference that you do. I don't see that.
You're saying I'm moral?
Yeah.
Is the tape recorder back on?
Can I interject in that the skill set for the two positions is different, and the skill set for the office position is higher than the park position, and as the general manager, I would agree with Chuck that the office position should have a higher cap on it. I would leave it up to the board as to what that cap should be, but I do agree that the office position should have a higher cap.
Well, and also the fact that she was brought in at the top range, okay, which is nothing wrong with that, but Jonathan went like 3.5-4 months and jumped to that $1.50. You know, from 13.50.
But I think that's more of a reflection of the times, okay? Because what you know when this happened, I mean, there's no way you could hire somebody anymore for 13.50 for anything. I mean, it's just everything has sort of risen up.
So it sounds like we agree that Jonathan or that position should be paid $15 an hour.
Yeah.
It should not go down. It should be.
Right.
So it sounds like we're in agreement about that. So this is not about minimum wage. This should be a living wage. But the real question is whether Tammy's position should go up, right?
Right. That's really the question.
So it's really not about the parks and rec maintenance position. It's about what's your title?
Facility staff.
Yeah. And so, cause currently, should I even wish to get a raise?
I can't.
I 100% believe Michelle was underpaid.
She was just underpaid. She did all sorts of work. She was able to step in for Al when he was gone. We were paying her. So, I mean, we didn't when he was gone. But
we just have to pay attention to the budget, I'll say. Okay?
Absolutely. I am 100% in agreement that those two positions should not be taxed the same.
I agree.
Different skill set. Tammy deals. I do not deny he's done a great job. I have no complaints at all. This is not about him. Really, that's Tammy's position, that it is his largest skill set. She deals with the public constantly.
So what do you want to be? You want to be 16, 17? What do you want to be?
I want the range to be up to 18. That doesn't mean that we have to pay her right now at 18. But I think the range should be, since we started her at 15, should be 15 to 18. And then that would be up to the general manager based on what she does with her staff and the work she feels she should have to be able to go to 16.
If you make it 18,
we'll get there.
I don't know. What is
she still here?
What does eventually mean? I mean, it's next month or...
Well, that would be up to the
general
manager.
So, they put a cap on the amount of raise that can be issued in one time. But that's up to us.
Like, we could say, okay, let's move it to 17, and then if we needed to move it up, we can move it up again. We don't have to go right to 18 right away.
No, I understand. I'm saying, is it within our purview to be able to put a cap on the amount, the percentage of a raise that can be given in any given time?
Well, if I may, the board controls the range.
Uh-huh.
General manager implements that.
Uh-huh.
But implements is subject to the control that the board has in developing the budget. So you develop what your budget is. You allocate a budgetary amount for staff time and cost.
Yeah.
And it's within the general manager's obligation to get all that done within the parameters of the budget. So that's where you have a kind of a double control, which is both the range and the budget. But within that, that's within what the general manager operates.
Natalie, what do you think?
You mean on a number? I am in agreement with Lori that their skills and the duties are different, and I think that Tammy's duties require higher pay. That's my opinion, and I'm for increasing the cap.
Okay, what do you want the cap to be?
I mean, I would go with 18. I don't know. I'm not the best to ask. I would go with 18, but Wes, I understand you want to be a little more tight on it, so I'm going
17. And again, all we're talking about is the range.
It
doesn't mean you have to say tomorrow,
sorry,
Debbie,
you're making
18.
Yeah, I mean,
she could be, the type of thing where Lori decides, I want to give you a raise, I'm going to 16.
But I would like Lori to come to the board. That's kind of a big range, right? I mean,
so can we put a cap on the amount of salary and how much the raise can be any given time?
It's at 15 right now. It's at 15 right now. I'd rather have control over that. So it's at 15 right now. I'd rather say, hey, let's cap it at 17. That would be my vote.
With the idea that if Lori feels at some point, or if the GM feels at some point that this person merits more pay, they will bring it to the board for...
Right.
Well, the board doesn't approve
back
to the board to request an increase in the cap.
Right.
Such that a raise could be given.
Right. So, I mean, hopefully the way it works is you say, okay, we're going to give you a raise if you can do these things. Okay? We're going to give you another dollar an hour if you can do these things. So then go up to 16, then go up to 17 based on increasing that skill set.
Yeah, well, that's the performance review. I agree with that.
No, well, I mean, the GM should do that.
Right. Well, keep in mind that you review the general manager. So if you increase the cap and then the general manager immediately bumps that employee up at the maximum of the cap.
Right.
And in addition to the control that you have with the cap,
condition the control that you have with the budget, you also have the control of the general manager's performance. And if that is something that is clearly something the board doesn't want, then that gets reflected directly on the general manager's manager.
To start with, I'm not opposed to capping it. You have it 15 to 17 is our range for that position now.
Okay.
You don't want to go back to, Tammy gives us notice tomorrow, you don't want to go back to our original budget and say our range is 12 to 17 now and pick one. Or you want to just stay at 15 to 17 is the new cap.
I would like the range to go a little below that. I think otherwise you're thinking the bottom of the range should be somebody who's been in this position for a year, who I think there's maybe 14.
Yeah.
But I don't think we should go back to 12.
Yeah.
That's too far under the other position's pay right now.
You can't.
But I think if Tammy resigned tomorrow or something happened and you bring in somebody with less of a skill set than her, I don't think they should automatically get more.
Okay, that's a good point.
Yeah. So 13 to 17, 14 to 17, somewhere in
there. Or let's make it 14 to 17.
Okay.
All
right.
Yeah.
All right. Can I have a motion to change the cap from whatever it is now to 14 to 17?
I move that we change the cap to the facilities. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Staff from 12 to 15 to 14 to 17.
$1 per hour. Okay. All right. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. Carried. Thank you. Okay.
Was yours an aye?
Yes.
Oh,
okay. All right. It's all right.
All confidential.
Okay. Item 14, WCSD hours and expectations, discussion of possible action. Now, as I understand it, Lori, what are the hours for the CSD where people can come in? Is that are we closed on Friday?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's an issue.
Every other
Friday. And so we rolled that over from the county, and it's always been that.
But it wasn't like that, and I know that because I was in here every other Friday for like 8 years, and the whole time Al was here, when he was working, he was here on Friday morning.
Were you here on Friday?
Yes.
I don't know if it was scheduled or not, but I... I'm absolutely a witness. He was here every Friday before 8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And there were countless, and there still are, things that happen on Friday mornings. And I know because I've seen them when I'm here for co-op. And that's not, I'm here to run the co-op, not to do facility stuff. There have been locksmiths who have shown up with waiting for 45 minutes for somebody to come and meet them. We've had lines outside the bathroom well after 8 o'clock on Friday morning. We need somebody in this office.
Well, hopefully the automatic locks take care of that.
I hope.
Sure.
Yes, but regardless, we need somebody here. There are people that wander in. A lot of people up here work at the beginning of the work week. They take long weekends. They don't drive from Friday traffic. That's their day to come in.
Well, going back to the budget, which we discussed another issue.
Yeah.
The budget was, the general manager was 100 hours a month.
Yeah.
Worked out to 5 days, that's 5 hours a day.
Right.
25 hours a week, and then 4 weeks.
Right.
That's what it was originally done in the budget, even though the website never changed the date. The website, look it up right now, it still says Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
Okay. The other thing was, based on the hours that Al was working, we took an average, if you remember correctly, for the last budget,
mm-hmm.
and the hours were, he was putting in 117 hours a month, not the budgeted 100. So when we, Leo and I were doing the new contract, we stated that it should be around 117 hours at the 2640, which brought it out to the 37,000 and whatever, 60, which is what the contract that Lori had. Okay, and it was based on those numbers.
Okay.
So that was the history behind it and how it got up from originally the 100 hours, which was the 31,007, and then bumped it up to the 37,000. So
I think the question is, Do we, if we open up on Friday, it's going to increase the hours. It's going to increase the budget, right?
I don't see how. Al was there on Friday, and he just said that they based the new contract on Al's hours.
But I don't think were we open then? We're open.
Not normal business hours.
Okay. Well, with the reading into the special.
Yeah. She's very handy that you're here.
But I work a lot of Fridays. That's what my name is that I turned it. He's kept up on things. Because just remember, the first 2 years, we had a lot of things that we
yeah,
had to
that's true.
That are pretty much done now.
Yeah.
That Lori, you know, can maintain. Where we were just
but you weren't. But we weren't open on Friday. You were just here, but it wasn't that. You would answer anyway. Yeah. So it was kind of open.
But it wasn't publicized. It wasn't on our website, which we keep telling people to go to. I mean, just round out.
But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah.
That goes out on our dump card letter and everything.
Well, I guess the question is, Lori, what where are your hours being spent on Monday through Thursday? Is it how many hours did you spend in the last week, for example?
Well, those are a month hours, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. How many hours a week, right? Eight to one every day. Because you guys are always gone by one every time I've ever been here.
I was going to say, yeah, we're gone by one. Usually, I would say half the time when I'm at home doing some research or doing other stuff at home, I'm not logging those hours on my time sheet. You guys haven't asked me to, so I haven't tracked those hours. So you're not logging in and out, you're not tracking your hours.
Is what you're saying.
I'm not tracking the hours that I'm working from home now. I have to do that.
Why not? Who is that?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, the question is, you feel we have to be here on Friday.
I do because I'm here on every other Friday, and I see the amount of people that come in, and I think somebody needs to be here Monday through Friday. I understand the county didn't do it that way, but that's part of why we have local control now to do what needs, and I think
that's
there's.
Right. That's right. We can do whatever.
A demonstrated need by the amount of people that come in here on Friday morning.
So Tammy and Lori are here Monday through Thursday from 8 to 1, both at the same time. So are you suggesting that both of them come on Friday?
Or why are they come on Friday? Anybody.
It seems likely it will increase the number.
Is there a reason one of you could work Tuesday through Friday instead of Monday through Thursday? I mean, that seems like an obvious, simple fix to me. I just know that when our parks and rec person is here, it's not the same. They don't have anything to do with the rental of the building. Not to mention, I never know what park they're in, so I don't know where to send anybody to find that person if there is an issue with the bathroom or whatever. But to me, a simple fix is one person's schedule goes from Tuesday through Friday, I think that sounds reasonable. I don't mean we need to add hours. I thought we were on the salary thing, and I thought it was 100 hours. You know, I thought that was around there, and right now it's an 80-hour. Is there point?
Is it possible to open on Friday, Lori? That if you can you arrange your schedule in such a way that somebody would be here on Friday?
I can try. I say currently I have some appointments on some Fridays that I cannot be here. So,
I mean, between the two of you, you have to work out. You have to work out some kind of schedule.
I have to talk to them and see who
their availability is and check it with my. Okay, how about this? Why don't we see if they can figure that out. Mm-hmm. And then we'll put this on next month's agenda and see if we get that figured out, okay? Unless you feel like terribly urgent or something.
No, I mean, okay. Logistics have to occur.
Okay, so all
right.
Why don't you guys see if you can figure it out and then come to the board and then on the next agenda say, if we just can't do this, it's not workable, we're gonna end up adding more hours and increase the budget, it's not workable, or hey, we worked it out like this, we're going to try this other kind of schedule. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
It's, from my experience, the most critical time is about 8 to 10 in the morning. And I don't know why, but that's when the majority of people come through.
Okay.
Is that true? Okay, on every day. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you. All right, item 15, agreement for services with Al Marced, discussion of possible action. Okay, Al.
Well, I'm assuming that Mr. Kennedy requires
a... Yeah, I think it's okay. Steve, can you go over your...
Sure.
Proposal
with Al? Following the board meeting last month, direction was given to follow up with the preparation and revision of the agreement that has been presented. Mr. Morissette and I have traded some drafts of that agreement, and I can recommend to the board approval, except for two areas that I think. Mr. Morris and I reached an impasse. The first one on page 35 of the agenda, and you'll notice it's in blue ink.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the blue ink is Mr. Morris's proposed language. And in that provision, what it appears is that he's trying to wrap in the action. Discussions that took place beginning in August of that meeting regarding the direction that the board wanted to take with respect to the grant application. And keep in mind that those were not official actions of the board. The board can only legally, under Government Code Section 61045B, can only act by three-way motion, resolution, or order. None of those things happen. So I'm not comfortable accepting that language. Not that we can't reach, not that the work that was done before entering into the agreement cannot be incorporated in the agreement. It can. The easier way may be to make the effective date earlier, make it effective as of August 6th. That may be the easiest way to do that without having all of this language in here. But that's why I can't agree to that second recital. The second issue is on page 42, the scope of work and that's the compensation. Where I thought the discussion that landed at the last board meeting was $40 an hour, not to exceed 40 hours.
Right.
Mr. Morissette has revised that where the that 40 foot 40, the 1600, it does cap is sort of a floor now. So I think that's something for the board to have a discussion with Mr. Morissette about that the language that he has proposed there.
So, okay, so Al, this is this minimum of 40 hours of work, and so there's no way to know what the ceiling is on this, right?
Nope.
Well, unfortunately,
it doesn't
matter.
Maybe
it's on.
Yes,
hello.
Well,
The first item that Mr. Kennedy brought up, I'll have a problem with. We just said that the start date on August 2nd or whatever that date is, 6th, I think it was.
Okay.
I'm okay with it.
Okay.
On the other issue,
well, did everybody hear this? I don't think so. Can you, we're down to this. Can you give them the
recording? I thought I'd just keep loud.
No.
Well, they need you for the recording.
Yeah. Can you, yeah, there you go. How's that?
Hello?
Yeah, that's it.
There we go.
Okay. Thank you. All right, so you're okay with changing the language on that other part. That's okay. What I'm concerned about are the numbers.
On the numbers, if you remember, last month, I made mention that if the board has no action towards anything,
yeah,
that I should be compensated for the hours for all these money.
For your back work. Right.
Correct.
Right.
And that's what this is pertaining to. I try to spell it out a little bit better so you have clarity on what that's all about. As you go forward on the individual grant, each grant will have a requirement that's a little bit different than the next as far as how many hours.
Yeah.
Initially, back in August, at the first meeting, I think, I had mentioned there'd be somewhere around an estimate of 40 to 60 hours per grant. And,
Never
even meet, so that sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
And I still think we're going to be in that window. It might even be a little bit less.
And what is your hourly fee again? Is it
40?
Yeah. Okay.
Is this 40, this floor
down
the $40 for
1600,
is that for all
grants
combined or per grant?
That is for the work that I've done at Gettysburg to prepare, like the community meeting, mm-hmm, and that kind of thing, to prepare so that we can look at the individual grants. So a lot of it is for preliminary work for all the grants, because the meetings were for all.
Yeah.
Plus some contact with the state for some clarity on things. So that's collective.
Collective, okay.
When we start working on the individual grant, let's say first the board decides to go with the community building as its primary and go from there. Well, then I'm not focused on that. And that's where we're going to go forward. You know, if we want to. Right now we have three potential grant programs out there, applications out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I've been going forward and doing work on all three. We know that the minimum that we're going to collect per capita is 200,000. Okay. And their guidelines are going to specify 200,000 is the minimum that they're already out. So we know that. We also know that the three, each proposal, exceeds that. So, there's a 20% match.
Yeah.
And this is kind of getting into the next part of this agenda. But so anyway, the work that would be done for the individual grant is not part of this.
Okay.
Yeah, as far as the individual part of it. The collective part of it, yes.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So let me ask a couple more questions.
Sure.
Is it? I mean, would you? I mean, could we just cap it for each brand? Could we say, look, I want to cap this thing. You know, the board can't spend. We can't spend more than say 70 hours. You know, we're gonna cap it.
Sure.
Are you talking per grant or per grant?
No, per grant.
Okay.
Per grant. So you got to have some kind of cap on there, and otherwise we just don't know what might be.
Typically, with the scope of work that you get from
consultants, such as Mr. Morris, that you would have listed what the work that's going to be done,
yeah.
The hourly rate, and then what the number of hours that would be associated with all of that.
Right.
And that would provide the board with some understanding of what
right.
the cost would be.
But we put a cap on the individual grant or whatever way you wanted to do that.
Well, that's what I propose. Okay. That we just cap the individual grants.
And I would propose that cap being at 60.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I don't think we'll even hit that, to be quite honest.
I have thought the last meeting you had given us three different options, which as far as what you were going to be paid on those, you discontinued those when I think we all said, hey, option one sounds great. If you get the grant, we pay it. If you don't, we don't. So, thank you.
Thank you.
So, in discussing that, I had asked, how many hours have you already put into the project? And you came back and said 40. And I asked what, you know, those 40 hours were for, and you said it was for the Hollis grant package.
I don't remember that.
Yes. That's what was said. Anyway.
I don't remember that.
That's great. Okay. We got the recordings. Anyway, when we were discussing that, you had agreed to the 40 hours which you had already put through, and said that you would do that for the three grants to get all the stuff in, and that's what we would owe you would be the $1,600 to start with. And I see, you know, we crossed that portion out. We said, now we're talking about how much do we want to pay you for three grants that may or may not be done, because the grant application is once you get the allocation of monies, which you're aware of, and we go, and we're looking at $200,000, if we don't get another dime, it's stupid for us to be paying you at $40 or $50 an hour to put together grants that we can't afford in the first place. You know, based on your original thing, you said the Hollis was $500, you revised it down to $325. Then the Vivian Knoll was $500, and the sports complex was $2 to $3 million in that. And you revised that down a little bit. Because we kept talking about, well, our per capita share would be $800,000. Wes and I talked about being able to raise that kind of money, which and talking to other people around, yeah, you're right, you probably can't raise that $800,000 if we got the $4 million. But anyway, that was the breakdown on it. So I called because the other thing that was said constantly is we had to have this done before November 1st because that's when the grants were required to be in. On this new proposal, you're getting different dates from January to whatever, March. I don't have that in front of me. But anyway, I actually called the state today and talked to the San Bernardino County rep for the per capita grant. And that's Luann Albert, which I'm sure you know. And she basically said, the procedural guide, which is under their website, which I pulled up and looked at, that the resolution for per capita grant funds, which we did back in the 2nd of July, and we have that resolution, so there was really no reason to hold on to that because the thing that's due on November 1st or the last day is the resolution from the board. Well, we did that 3 months ago, and I'm not sure why we didn't put it in back in July, but that's another story. The resolution, once the allocations are announced, and according to Luann,
She's thinking that we're not going to get those until around mid-November, because they have to, by law, I guess, ask all the people that are in the state that qualify for this that have not applied yet. They're holding off until they get those answers.
To make sure everybody gets
to make sure everyone gets the thing and the whole bit.
Okay.
And I said, well, how long can they wait? She said, that seems to stop now, but most probably we're not going to have those numbers until mid-November-ish. So after the allocations are announced in mid-November, then there are statewide meetings on the applications. And those meetings are for everybody that's got an allocation. And she said, with December coming in, probably not going to get to those statewide meetings all the time. I can't tell you when Wrightwood would be, but it could be end of January, February before we get to those meetings.
Okay.
She said, you can put the grants in, but there's not going to be anything. They're not going anyplace until after you have the meeting.
Right.
Period.
Right.
So after you have the meeting, then you go into the applications to the state, and that's your timetable of March, April to get it to the state at that time.
Okay.
From there, it goes to the state to approve it. If we did it correctly, and they say, no, you need to change this or change that, whatever. But theoretically, we're looking at, and once they approve it, then we have to do the signed contract, and that could be April, May-ish time period.
Okay.
And there were other things that I had talked to her about. She said there's other grants, a competitive grant, and the representative of Kyle Bolin, San Bernardino County. I'm not sure. He never got back to me today, so I'm not sure the specifics of that one.
Mm-hmm.
San Bernardino County has a $13 million grant available. It's December of next year, not this coming December, but next year.
Mm-hmm.
And in talking to Susan Drake earlier in the evening, she felt that we would have a shot at some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, that could be maybe $100,000 whatever, because it's basically the same criteria as far as difference of what the community's like, the number of people, and all those types of things. So I guess my problem is we discussed this, and maybe I heard it wrong, but I thought for 2 months it was the grant has to be in by November 1st is the deadline.
Okay.
That's not real. So, you know, the resolution has to be in. That's the last day for the resolution.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, and, you know, we could send it out today, I guess, because it was passed on the 2nd of July.
Yeah.
And it's in the procedures. It's the exact resolution that we put together and that the board voted on from the resolution. But now, if we're looking at once we get the per capita funds, and I asked her specifically, what chance do we really have of getting more than the $200,000? She said, you know, maybe 5%, 10%, but you're not going to get it. She said, it's basically going to be 200 to 220.
Yeah.
It's what she was working on, and thought there was no way we were going to get any more. Is there a possibility if, you know, things happen and something goes, could we get more? Maybe, but according to her, and she's the one that does all the applications.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we're not looking until mid-November for the allocations, and then we have to wait for the statewide meeting before we put in the grant, why are we looking to sign a contract today with Al on this stuff when we might be 4 or 5 months away from even proposing or doing those applications? My feeling on all this, if we're in the $200,000, I'd like to forget Hollis right now. I'd like to forget the sports complex right now, and really deal with this facility here, which we had in the capital improvements that Al gave us about a year ago or whatever that we wanted to do. $150,000 of which part of that was the chairs and tables, which we've already purchased. But there's still about $147,000 in capital improvements that we need here, the roof, the other things. So,
yeah.
I'm not sure if I really want to be in a position to sign a contract today, and I have a couple other questions, Steve, on this contract, but to do that now until... Now, if she was wrong and we get the allegations next week, great. Then we can do a special meeting or try something different. But if we're looking at mid-November, I just don't see the rush to do a contract today. And I certainly would want to know what the 40 hours were done and what backup was submitted, because we don't have anything other than you said you worked on 40 hours. We don't know what it's for. We don't know the specifics.
Well, I will say this, Chuck. I will say this. When Al says he worked on 40 hours, I believe him, okay? And I think he did.
Right.
And he probably worked more than that. These things take a terribly long time to get organized and get going on this thing. And it is a specialty. Not everybody can just write these grants. And I know this, okay, because...
Well, for your
oh,
business,
let me, I'm
yeah.
sorry, let me... No, it's still a grant.
They offer classes in grant writing.
Yeah.
There's a specific
It is a specific skill. And when he says that he worked on a 40, I do. I don't have any problem with that.
So you don't want any backup for the 40 hours of what he did during those 40 hours and what he presented?
I'm surprised it's only 40 hours, quite frankly.
Right.
Yeah, so no, I wouldn't need any backup.
So you don't need any backup on any of that?
Well, what do you want for backup?
Backup would be, okay, I spent 10 hours doing the site plan. I did, X amount of hours on that.
Okay, we can get that.
Whatever the background is specifically on what he did. I can't believe people can work for your company and say, hey, I put in 60 hours this week. And not give you any kind of backup for what those 60 hours went to.
Well,
that's just straight business.
Well, I'm sorry, they can. You're wrong. They can do that because let me finish. Because I know how the job works.
Okay.
Right. And I do, and I have been involved in these grants, and I do know something about them, and they do take a long time. And 40 hours sounds really reasonable to me. That's all I'm saying. You don't want to believe it? That's fine. I believe it.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long does it take you to make a general list of what you've done in those 40 hours?
Well, that would come up to your first invoice. If I invoice, I'm going to think what I invoice
before. Okay. So if that's an issue, then that seems like a simple issue to solve. That one particular issue, and then you've got a bunch.
Right.
Want me to go to the next?
Well, it seems to me if that time frame is correct, that you could, ask for Mr. Morissette to provide you with an invoice of 40 hours and then agree to pay the 40 times 40 for the work that's been done, not necessarily entered into a contract right now, but get possession of the materials that have been prepared, and then the board can look at that and decide, make decisions about whether to move forward with any particular project based upon the material that has been prepared. I don't think you could agree to do that and hold off on entering into a contract until the board has seen that, see those materials.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, one of the issues that I had with respect to the language in Section 2, does say, with respect to the 1500s, says, upon payment, the district is entitled to have ownership of the works represented by the base 40 hours of service. Then the next line says, while ownership of any materials out of that base 40 hours remains the sole property of the home. So I don't understand how the district can own it once you pay, and then still have to build the sole property of the home.
Sorry.
Well,
that's two different things.
It seems to me like there's more than 40 hours that have been worked.
That's my understanding was that applies to the base amount that we're talking about. So I thought perhaps if the timing is such that Director Franklin is here, that Mr. Morissette can prepare the invoice, showing what was done, presumably that would be reflect 40 hours of work and what that was for.
district can cut a check for $1,500. The Mr. Morris, I can provide all of that information, all the work that was done, the deliverable, to the board. Then the board can review that as part of a go forward over the next period of time that you have as to which particular application, if any, that the board wishes to pursue.
Right.
And then to enter into a contract with Al to provide the services necessary for that particular application. With an hourly rate and with a cap on the number of hours that would apply to that particular application.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question.
You gotta come to the mic and do all that.
It doesn't work.
One of the questions comes back to your first statement, which says that there's a discrepancy between who owns the property when you have it 40 hours.
Correct.
Yeah, which goes back to your first statement, which talks about the legalities of not having a contract in the first place.
All that's true. And my suggestion is that we can get to that point without having a contract.
Okay.
I'll provide the invoice.
Yes. Who owns the invoice? I mean, not the who owns the property?
Well, hold on. The board. We're getting there. Then, this is case, my guess is that Al is the one providing the information.
Okay.
And then the district not pay, and then he's out of the work product.
Yeah. Right.
So I'll provide the invoice, shows the breakdown of this time. District pay is $1,600. I'll provide the materials to the district. I think at that point, ownership does transfer. You pay for it, you should own the property. And so I think that the district can own it at that point in time, and then can evaluate it and decide which application.
I'd like to interject at the moment, okay, and try to eliminate some confusion. The 40-hour base that I'm talking about has already been done. I didn't wait for that.
Right.
And we're good. If you want my notes and everything else, I don't have a problem with that. Okay. Currently working on some of the grant work. I probably got another 20 hours on that. Okay. But that's separate from that base. This is working on grant work itself. And some of that is rather generic. That would be applicable to each one of them on the narrative and that type of thing. You know, and the format. Not, you know, I have a bit of an issue that's beyond the 40 hours that we're talking about.
Because it's related to the individual grant, to each individual grant.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't mind getting some of that out, you know, the format and whatever.
I think it has to be that whatever work you do that we pay you for, we have to own it. Period.
Right, and you pay me for that 40.
He's saying that's an additional 20 hours of work, and until we pay him for that, they have a contract to pay him for that. But as I'm reading what was written, it talks about 40 times 40, it says the district is obligated to pay a base minimum of 40 hours of work for services rendered.
The 40 hours includes pre-grant research, development, community outreach, and other preparatory work that will be submitted separate to the individual grant application and is due upon submittal. So that seems to me that there are specific deliverables related to that base 40.
Mm-hmm.
The next line says, upon payment, the district is entitled to have ownership of the works represented by the base 40 hours of service. The confusion that I have is the next line that says, while ownership of any materials out of that base 40 hours remains the sole property of the consultant. And I don't understand that language. It seems to me that based upon this, that there is a set of deliverables associated with the base 40.
Well, why don't we do this? Because I understand what you're saying, Steve. I understand Chuck's concerns. I understand what the support. What I have going on right now, I'll just turn it all over. So you would get rid of this, you would just get rid of that line?
Just get rid of that line.
Okay.
If you want, or whatever.
Okay.
And this contract, if you want to have a contract with me, you want it to be this particular contract, you have an ending date of November 1st. You may want to extend that out. Because what Chuck has brought up today, I talked to these people a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they gave me an entirely different set. Yeah. Now, and I believe Chuck, believe me.
Yeah.
But these guys at the big level can change things whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
And the guidelines that they have are considered guidelines. And they can adjust those anytime they want. What I presented in the next part of this agenda, okay, is the current guidelines in their manual or in their guidelines source, and it's what they told me they reconfirmed with me the last time I talked to them. So right now, remember they even referred back to those saying these are what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So they changed that where, because I'm looking for, when I originally talked with them last month, or earlier in the month, whatever it was, before the last meeting, they said that they were going to allocate those funds within the next 2 weeks. And that's what I referred to.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah.
And if you remember, you know, the board basically said, well, can you get that information? Let's have a meeting that we can discuss it. I never got that information. That's why I never asked for the meeting, because it would be fruitless.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Okay. And then when I got a hold of them again a couple weeks ago, they said, well, it'd be sometime between October 1st and October 15th. I believe I have that in my notes. And now, Chuck is saying basically beginning of November, so they did take it back. Yeah, I can't see them doing that. If you look on their website, they've got like 23 pages, you know, small print of all these different agencies that have the right to apply.
Yeah.
They're qualified.
Yeah. Well, okay, so it sounds like, Steve, it sounds like you can fix up this.
Well, frankly, I think that what I'm talking about is stuff that can be done without a contract.
Yeah, right.
Ultimately, if we don't move forward with this contract, ultimately an invoice.
Right.
District pays it.
Right.
And
with the invoice and material.
Yeah. You're comfortable with that.
Yeah.
I'm open with it.
And then we bring back, because I'm looking at on page 46, the staff report, it does indicate the timeline is November 1, submit the application resolution, which we've already adopted. The last day to submit application would be, according to this, January 31st,
right.
So the board would have time to review and deliver the work he's done so far, and review that, have the meetings with the public to identify what direction you want to go.
Right.
And then we can, and then once the board has selected a direction, we can, it'd be a lot easier to draft up a contract specific to that.
Okay, so I want to be clear on the deliverable part. It sounds to me like Al said at least 60 hours. 40 hours we're talking about compensating them for, getting deliverables in exchange. There's another 20 hours that you put in with more deliverables, so to speak. So, I think you just agreed to give us those as well. How does he stay protected to make sure he is ultimately reimbursed for those hours when he no longer, at a later date, will have any deliverables to provide for those hours?
Well, what the board can do is, so we're talking about 40 at 40 for 1,600.
Uh-huh.
If the number of hours is being more than that, the board can authorize staff to pay up to, say, $2,000 based upon whatever that invoice that comes back from out. So the board can take action tonight to authorize that payment, whatever the board feels would be an appropriate cap. And then the invoice can come in, and if it's less than that cap, then fine. If it's more, then you know, I guess that would be something that
that Mr. Morris said would either be or would or the board come back to the board for subsequent approval?
Well, I would agree to the 1600 because that's what we agreed to the last council meeting.
Yeah.
And I believe, that's what we agreed to. We should honor that. But at that time, we also talked about probably getting a special meeting because we were waiting on the allocation numbers.
Which they didn't have that.
Which they didn't have that, and they're going to be a while. And we also said, let's put it on hold, the grants, until we know what our numbers are. So, thank you for doing another 20 hours of work, but that wasn't authorized by us. The 1600 was, and I think we should pay that, and I'm fine on Lori, Al giving the invoice and Lori writing the check for the 1600. As far as any additional hours, I'm not fine on that because as a board, we said put it on hold, and we'll have a special meeting once we get the allocation number, and then we can decide which grant we want to go forward with. And from that point of view, no, I'm not okay on paying or putting it on, a thing for future to pay.
Well, that 20 hours. That 20 hours, though, those are for the end. Is that allocated on the individual grants, or is that more for the whole project? So it's really...
It's more towards the individual grants. It's setting up the format of the application.
So you just worked ahead on some of these individual grants. That work's going to be duplicated in these three ways. It's a base work.
Some of it will be duplicated, some of it is specific for that particular grant.
Okay.
So we also put that on hold when we said, okay, on the 1600.
Yeah, no, I...
When we said, don't do any more until we get the allocation number.
I'm fine with what you said.
Okay.
I'm fine with what you said. I'm just trying to get it straight in my mind
right.
The other 20 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
And at this moment in time, I would say hold off on the contract until we find out where we are in mid-November. And there's nothing to say that the state says we haven't contacted everybody and it could be December before we get the allocation numbers. They've already put it off, 5 weeks? Since the original that we thought we were going to get those numbers?
This is pretty normal, by the way.
Well, yeah, but it's not unusual. But, we're looking at something that could go into April or May, and I don't want to be obligated to that until we know specifically where we stand and what grants we're actually putting together. It's like, Jonathan's not here right now, but his thing about the Veterans Memorial, that's in Al's proposal on the Vivian Knoll portion, I think, to address that drainage problem, and that affects the park.
Yeah.
So, there's certain things that...
They're good at
And we do a lot of parts and rights in this building, too, that needs different things. I mean, this was, I think you said 1966 was when this thing was originally done.
Well, actually, that's when the line was bought from whoever had this as a law.
Okay, so
in 1966, then they turned it over to the county in 1972.
Yeah. And I'm not discounting the Hollis Park and the kids thing and the whole bit, but, from what I've heard, we could probably go another year or two without really having to address that in full, especially if we have an opportunity for other grants. Again, the competitive one, which she told me about, that this Kyle Boland is the rep, or the San Bernardino County a year from December, even if we got $100,000, we could put a pretty good dent into the Hollis Kids Park type of thing. So I just think we're rushing at this moment in time until the state gets their act together and lets us know what's going on.
Well,
I don't want to vote on a grant if I don't know what we're getting.
Okay, but we don't need a resolution for him to turn in an invoice and all that kind of stuff.
No, I don't have a resolution, but I think the motion.
A motion, I mean, yeah.
In order for the that would authorize staff a invoice from Mr. Morris.
Yeah, for this.
Been done up to
$1,500. Right.
Upon. Staff is satisfied with the invoice.
with the background.
I'll put the background on
the list. Yeah, let's just work those up, you know,
okay.
Yeah. With the deliverables with that invoice.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I know that we authorize staff to compensate Al Morissette for the 40 hours that he has already put in at $40 per hour for a total of $1,600. Upon receiving the invoice that itemizes what was accomplished during those hours.
And receive
the deliverable.
Yeah. Right.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right.
Steve, on this contract, eventually when we get through it, there are some other sections that I had questions about. We don't need to go through it right now, but before this contract is drawn up again, I would want to.
Well, and we're going to bring up this contract when we get the allocations, right? That's really the key, is the allocations really is the trigger for all this. Okay. All right.
So we have all the work done to be able to apply to the allocation.
Yeah.
Well, we need to send it in. We're bringing that resolution. The resolution needs to be sent.
So who do we get from?
And if the resolution is on the website, it's 2019-8. I got a copy of it here if you want it. So
we have a copy of the resolution in the office.
Yeah, it's signed on the website.
Yeah, anybody can just
download
it.
Send down here. Yeah, which gives you a marker.
Yeah.
So, who are we directing to send that in? So we make sure it's sent in.
It has to be Lori.
Yeah.
She is the contact person per the resolution. Per the capital grant, state of California. San Bernardino County rep, who is Luann Albert, A-U-B-I-N. She's the one that gets all these applications and stuff.
Okay, all right, so that's item 15. Now, item 16, really, there's nothing really to go over here until we get the allocations, right?
Right.
So, there's no action on that.
We're going to the next one.
There is no action on that. Yeah.
And there's future board meetings.
Future board meetings.
Right. You do have members of the public here. I don't know.
Right.
They have the grant
ones
that they want. Yeah, we did have a grant for sure. Go ahead.
Come on.
Go ahead.
You guys are waiting a long time.
I
don't
know. Yeah, please.
Okay.
You'll have to use this one remaining.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Hello, everybody. My name is Mark Moore. I've been a member of the community for about 13 years, and I've raised kids from about 10 years old to adults. And one thing the community does lack is things for families to do. And when we heard about the bike park trying to get started, we were super excited. We have a big community of families here. We ride bikes, race BMX, and all of our bike parks are either in Big Bear or on the other side of the desert, and we have nothing on this side of the desert to keep these kids busy. There's nowhere to ride bikes anywhere in the tri-community. It's super dangerous. We don't have anywhere to ride bikes safely. My family just took a vacation up to Tahoe, and Tahoe has three free bike parks up there, and families from little types on little push bikes all the way up to dads my age, granddad my age, I'm almost 50, and bike rides biking. It was super fun, and the bike parks were super busy, and it really was really exciting to see that. I wish we had something of that scale in our community. Something that Southern California has quite a bit of in the city is skate parks. There's a huge lack of bike parks, and this is just the perfect community for that, and I think it would be a big move forward for everybody. It's exciting for us Hiker people. We kind of have a revolution starting with BMX and mountain biking, and we don't have that on this side of the mountain, this side of the desert, taking over in Big Bear.
Right.
Area and Apple Valley. So,
right.
We are super excited.
Okay. That's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for your comments. Yeah. Any other comments?
We have a 15-week
program. We got time.
You gotta state your name and name. So my name is Carson Reimer, and I would greatly appreciate it if there would be a bike park of any kind in this community, because I feel like it will give me more things to do other than sit in a room and watch TV, which I tend to do a lot of hours. And it just being nice, like, on the things I really love to do, like my passion, and it could be a lot more kids' passion. I have friends that live up here, and I feel kids are going to want to go a lot because it's just hard to write a bike there. It's passive. Right. There's a lot of little kids on my head skate too.
It's a small part,
small area there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like for me as a kid, like, that could be something that me and maybe some of my legs are so kind of to, like, volunteer and, like, help make things into, make it bigger, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And, like,
how old are you, Carson?
15.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much. Thank you.
I'm going to ask you about so the bike parks that you go and ride. Are there separate areas for kids that are little and then, you know, the adults and the dads that are riding? Like, how much space do you think you need to have a good bike park up here?
It really depends on how the scale of it you want to be. There could be a little pump shop, which seems to be little humps about like this big, which little kids are like a little brother there.
In the red blizzard?
Yeah.
Oh.
And they make
a little stride with a push bike.
Yeah.
And I think there's probably more of this age kids out there, obviously, than maybe use the time for bigger kids. Yeah. Yeah, I have several friends whose kids go out to Lucerne Valley to ride the tracks out there. So you would have then two separate courses, a little pump track for the kids and then a bigger course for the adults and the teenagers.
And
okay.
The levels
as well.
Yeah. Okay. Because, like, the bike park I've been to, there's, like, a black diamond section, a blue square section, and, like, a green, like, the purple.
Okay.
Like, for your skill levels. But you can start off small, just have on a big lot, and kind of build up over time.
Mm-hmm.
Build it up. Okay. And you found something smaller, and it's really a new line.
Mm-hmm. So how does a track like that relate to, say, what Mammoth has? Have you been up to Mammoth?
I have, but I don't know.
Mammoth utilizes their ski lift.
Great.
So they're pretty extensive. Most of the free bike parks that are on the Tahoe, they don't consume quite a lot of a big area.
Okay.
I don't know what my dad would be on the acreage or any first square footage, but they vary in size. There's three different bike parks. One of them's pretty small, and, you know, and it's bringing a lot of kids to grow this sport, which is for the future of their career.
Okay, thanks a lot, Carson. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right, if there's, is there any other comments on this?
Yes, we'll go on that.
Okay.
I'm not a guest public speaker.
You're doing well.
I'm right as a tomato, probably. My name's Darcy Usher. I'm from Cameron. My boys, I'm very proud of all of them. We are avid snowboarders, skateboarders, BMXers. We do a school function up at the Lightwood First Heritage. We've done it for a handful of years. We support the community of Lightwood. We respect the community of Lightwood. We bring our money and our revenue during the snow season. I think that it would be good for Lightwood during the off season if you did have something like that. If you did have a station BMX race that was going on, your new hotel that you're upgrading would get used because there would be people coming from Brazos, Cucamonga, Montana that would be interested in racing and staying the night and then
going to your restaurants and buying near to small businesses, the antique shops and everything. So the revenues and responsibilities that it brings to the city would be something that you guys might want to take into consideration. I value, you know, you guys listening to us. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I hope that
maybe
you'll take it into consideration.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
We have skateboarders will definitely volunteer and definitely any fundraiser that you have, we are here to support.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay.
Ben Smith?
At the, Mountain
High. Oh, yeah. Something like Mammoth would have to occur at Mountain High. That type of, that would seem like a snowball. It's like different than what we're talking about here. So, yeah, what you're talking about here to be in Mountain High, I haven't already done it before. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah. Especially on the island, down the road, everyone's hiking. They travel all the way to either Mammoth or Big Bear.
Big Bear.
They prefer to come up here in the winter season, so we're going to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
not that.
Summertime, hiking, pretty much the same.
Don't need non-existent smell either.
Okay, future board meeting, November 5th, 2019. Right? Good on that? All right. And director's comments? I don't think we have any comments. No comments. Very good.
Ladies, thank you for your work.
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.